I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. President Obama says Democrats got an electoral shellacking today, a reality check, and he says it's because Americans are out of work, out of money, and out of patience.
People are frustrated. They're deeply frustrated with the pace of our economic recovery and the opportunities that they hope for their children and their grandchildren. They want jobs to come back faster. They want paychecks to go further, and they want the ability to give their children the same chances and opportunities as they've had in life.
Those frustrations resulted in the biggest Republican sweep since 1948. Republicans capturing at least 60 Democratic seats in the House, 6 in the Senate, including several Tea Party candidates. GOP leaders say they now have a mandate. Well, our guide through the next several minutes, Gail Chadwick, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. And Gail, start with the president's press conference today. Your thoughts on the president's demeanor, his responses, his attitude. What were you hearing?
Well, I think he hit the correct note with this hope for civility, hope for progress. You know, taking responsibility as president, what you did not hear is his connecting with the frustration from at least the Tea Party element of the electorate that it's not just the economy that's off course, it's the government. He said that he felt that he had made tough decisions and that they were right decisions. Republican leaders meeting today called the health care reform a monstrosity. So we're talking about a fairly significant gap there in perception.
Well, and talk more about, you know, what he was asked and what maybe he's not willing to respond to. It seemed as if he was asked again and again whether or not, you know, he and Republicans have common ground and whether or not this was a repudiation of his policies. And he seemed to not want to say that.
That's right. No, he did not. He did not back off his policies, even when pressed on, you know, a response to the human losses for Democrats in this campaign. You know, people who supported him strongly. Tom Perriello of Virginia 5th District. The president actually went to campaign with him in the last days of this campaign. He was a Democrat in a very conservative district who just stood up and defended and campaigned on the president's agenda, one of the very few Democrats that did so, and he lost. So you're not getting that sense from him, but there are some areas he mentioned that I think are ripe for compromise. For example, a moratorium on earmarks. That's something that the likely new speaker, John Boehner, came to Congress advocating, personally has never accepted earmarks, pushed the Republican caucus to a one-year voluntary moratorium this year. But with this bumper crop of conservatives, I think it's very likely that that temporary moratorium is likely to be made permanent on the floor of the House.
Well, and you have Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina writing in the Wall Street Journal today, instructing the incoming Tea Party candidates. He's a Tea Party favorite himself. You know, first and foremost, do not take earmarks. You know, sort of telling them how not to become part of the opposition. And what DeMint is referring to is other Republicans. But before we get to that, I just want to pick up on what President Obama was asked and his reluctance to say that he felt the elections as a repudiation of his policies. Does he have a point in that the Pew Research poll shows that people don't want to freeze government spending? They don't want to extend tax cuts to the very rich. When they're asked about specific parts of health care reform, they don't want to get rid of them. There seems to be some kind of odd disconnect. I mean, we're going to be talking about this more with a Tea Party activist. But, you know, you have people saying in the Tea Party movement, you know, President Obama, don't touch my Medicare, when in fact, it's many of the Tea Party libertarians who want to touch Medicare.
This is a case where, I mean, you're absolutely right. The number one concern that came out of exit polls was jobs and the economy. And when you press people on aspects of health care reform, yes, they want them. But this is an example of where I think Congress has so conspicuously failed its obligation to clearly lay out before the American people what the choices are. This Congress, outgoing Congress, didn't even complete a budget this year. The budget, as any family knows, is the point at which you say, yes, I want to do X, yes, I want to do Y, I can't do both, which is more important and why? And that debate, that discussion, simply never happened. And so, I think that's what is going to happen in the next Congress. The first thing they're going to try to do in pristine fashion, I predict, is get a budget through committee, onto the floor, onto the Senate, and get the process together. And that's where you see those really tough decisions worked out.
Well, and just a last question about the president and what happens going ahead. There is the lame duck Congress before the new one comes in. The president today focused in some of his answers on energy and education. He said common ground could be found with Republicans. He mentioned electric cars. You know, one of my colleagues said, electric cars? You know, nobody wants to hear about electric cars right now. Again, is there a little bit of a disconnect there?
There is. The tough thing is jobs, and we'll see if Republicans do any better at it than the Democrats were able to do. And so instead of talking about the tough things, you point out things that maybe are doable or kind of glitzy and accessible. But I do not believe that electric cars figured anywhere in exit polling in this cycle.
Well, and is that a problem of messaging? Because we hear over and over again that the jobs are going to be in the green economy.
Well, I think it is. It's getting a message across, but also, you know, what are the results on the ground? How long will it take? How long you're talking with electric cars about a transformation of the American economy, which Speaker Pelosi tried to do in what was probably her most deeply unpopular move. So what no one wants to hear is that the price of some of the green economies will be giving up relatively cheap oil, eventually giving up dependence on a carbon economy. I remember spending some time with anthracite coal miners in Pennsylvania who were talking about literally shooting the president over his proposals to rein in coal.
Oh,
they're killing our livelihood, he said. This is deeply, deeply serious issue in the Midwest.
Huh. Well, so we have what Michael Shear in the New York Times is calling the face-off everybody's been waiting for, President Obama and John Boehner, the presumptive new House Speaker. But then I want to ask you about what seems to be looming as another face-off. The Tea Partiers coming to Washington in their own party. We mentioned Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina, again writing in the Wall Street Journal today, that Tea Party lawmakers should stand by their values, that they're coming to Washington where longtime Republicans did not want them. And he says, don't let the Republican Party do what Trent Lott said they were going to do, which is co-opt you. Here's Senator Jim DeMint on Good Morning America today.
Republicans in the House will show what they stand for. They will pass legislation and send it to the Senate that we can debate and say yes to, so that we won't be in a position like we have been the last 4 years of just saying no to really bad legislation. I hope by 2012 Americans will know what Republicans stand for, constitutional limited government.
Well, first of all, right there, it's interesting that Jim DeMint is on the morning shows, because some are saying that he and Michelle Bachmann and others are going to challenge the presumption that John Boehner is the speaker and the leader.
Michelle Bachmann already has. But, I spoke with Dick Armey about this last night. He has had a big hand in kind of encouraging, helping organize, funding at the margins, Tea Party movements. He's in touch with a lot of activists. And he said what I've heard when I talked to them myself, that yes, there is real concern about establishment Republicans. They are part of the problem, people like John Boehner, who've been around for a while. But Boehner has gone way out of his way in the last few months to reach out to Tea Party activists, to campaign with them, to give money to them, and to shape the Pledge for America around their concerns. It begins with an extended discussion of the Constitution and its importance, and then goes through and touches a lot of their points. Now, whether or not you can transform that document into a record that Tea Party of activists will be satisfied is another thing. But for now, I just don't see anyone on the horizon that could challenge him. Just today, some of the leading rivals within the party set out, what the jobs they want, and they're not his. And it would be really unlikely to see a freshman come in and mobilize the kind of loyalty and support you need from the larger Republican caucus to take leadership away.
But is there a sense that there's going to be some headbanging along the way? when it comes to issues, well, like Medicare, Social Security, issues where perhaps some longtime Republicans might want to compromise and some incoming ones don't?
Oh, no question. I mean, this is going to be a wild, wild west of a session. And I think John Boehner has set a very interesting approach to dealing with it. He is not calling for bipartisanship. That never works, especially in this toxic environment. What he is saying is, I promise a fair vote and a fair debate. And that hasn't gone on in the House for many, many years. Our open debate has become extremely rare. He's saying that we're going to have days to look at a bill, 3 or 4 days on the web. We're going to have open amendment process. So these very tough decisions are going to be right out in the open. People will have a chance to make amendments and to actually vote on them. So in a sense, I think he's setting out a reform path that gives a basis for common ground, even if people can't agree on the outcomes.
Well, but then you have David Adams, Tea Party activist in Kentucky. He ran Rand Paul's primary campaign. He said his biggest goals are to balance the federal budget in a year and reduce the national debt. No room for compromise. One thing that the Democrats have been, you know, taunting the Republicans with on the campaign trail, and it worked in states like where we are in Massachusetts, where Democrats actually swept all the offices. But they've been saying, all right, you don't like what President Obama has done. What would you do? Where would Republicans make those cuts?
Well, that's of course, the huge question. One thing that the Republicans have done in the lead-up to the election is basically have a website where people can propose all sorts of cuts. But I think they're going to find in practice that the magnitude of the deficits we're talking about are going to require not just squeezing out inefficiencies here or there, but very serious cuts. I was interested to see just a few weeks ago a common statement by Barney Frank, the Democratic chair of the House Finance Committee, and Ron Paul, you know, libertarian, that they felt that a lot of the cuts ought to come out of the defense sector. And we have, of course, a presidential commission reporting on just this question.
This is the bipartisan commission that the president set up. It's going to report next month. You know, how
that's
to
right,
cut
December
the deficit.
1st.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So let them figure it out.
Well, there's that. That's Gail Chadwick of the Christian Science Monitor. And by the way, we're talking about how the deficit might be cut, even as the Federal Reserve just announced it's taking a bold step to aid the economy, launching a program to buy hundreds of billions of dollars in government bonds. So we'll be taking a look at that down the road. But, you know, again, newly elected Republicans are going to be asked, okay, what would you do? And part of it might be cutting Social Security, Medicare, changing the military budget. Gail, we want you to stay right there. Up next, we'll talk to a Tea Party activist. How does she expect to wield power on Capitol Hill? That's in about 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the Republicans' big win in Congress in yesterday's midterm elections. Some say a wave created by Tea Party candidates, and to be sure, many Tea Party-backed candidates, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania, Ron Johnson, swept to victory last night. But on the other hand, Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Angle, Carl Paladino all lost. Sarah Palin's pick in Alaska, Joe Miller, is in a pretty close-to-call finish with the write-in Republican Lisa Murkowski. So before we go back to Gail Chadwick of the Christian Science Monitor, who's sort of guiding us through what these elections mean going forward, let's get a Tea Partier's response. Diana Reimer was an ordinary citizen, angry about her underwater mortgage and government bailouts last year when she began going to and then organizing Tea Party rallies in suburban Philadelphia. She's now a full-time paid national coordinator for the group Tea Party Patriots. She wants us to differentiate that group from the Tea Party Express, which is backed by Republican consultant Sal Russo, and which actually endorses candidates. The Patriots just back candidates and issues. And Diana joins us from her cell phone in Washington, where she's been sort of in demand today. Diana, how do you feel today?
I feel great. It was a great victory last night for the American people.
But on the other hand, do you think Tea Partiers lost the Republicans the Senate? You know, people like, well, Kate Czernicki, whose book you were in, she wrote the book Boiling Mad. She's pointing out that, you know, if Sharon Engel, Christine O'Donnell had not run, perhaps Republicans could have won the Senate.
That's not Tea Party patriots. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't endorse these candidates. We don't endorse candidates.
So what do you think the candidates who won, the Tea Party backed, if not endorsed, candidates who won, what do you think those wins say? What do you think they're taking out to Washington?
Well, I think what they're taking to Washington is we're getting our conservative candidates into office. And we in the Philadelphia area are going to be watching the candidates that did get into office.
Today, conservative Senate Republican Jim DeMint, a major Tea Party voice in Congress, said to the incoming Tea Party-backed candidates, now the real fight begins, and it's with Republican Party insiders who don't want you there. These are his words. Do you agree with Jim DeMint that there's now, a battle looming between the conservative Tea Party-backed candidates, like the ones that you supported, and the Republican Party insiders in Washington?
I think there's going to be a big change in Washington. Our feeling is not to take over a party. Our idea is to change the parties from within. And the people that we put in office, that the American people put into office, we will be watching them. And we will be making sure that they do what they said they were going to do.
Well, and what are those things? Some of the Tea Party-backed candidates have said they want to get rid of some of the benefits that are so hugely expensive. Medicare, Social Security. Rand Paul says he wants to completely change the program for younger people. Now, you thought a lot about this, as expressed in Kate Czernicki's book, Boiling Mad, about the Tea Party. That's where we first read about you. You're on Medicare. You're on Social Security.
Yes, I am. And did I have a choice? No. Are they going broke? Yes. And the way I look at it, yes, young people should have a choice. Things have to be changed.
But what if you were asked to do that? What if you were asked to give up your benefits?
I'm sorry. I'm 68 years old. I've been working since I was 14. My husband put 20 years in the service. He's been working since he was 14. We paid into this program, to both programs. If the government used that money and they shouldn't have used it, then shame on them. And that's why it's going broke. You know, if they said you can't be on it anymore, I'd find a way to make things work, as my husband and I have always found a way to make things work.
Yeah. Well, what else are you going to keep an eye on people doing? Republican Jim DeMint again says Tea Party-backed candidates better not take any earmarks. Do you agree?
I think, whatever is going to go on, we're having a conference in the next week with the freshman people coming in. And they will understand, what it's like down here, and they will understand what the American people are asking and what is expected of them.
I guess the biggest question is, everybody knows there's a huge deficit. Most analysts, the Congressional Budget Office, the Independent Congressional Budget Office said that President Obama's health care reform will actually lower the deficit.
That's a bunch of baloney.
You don't believe it?
I don't believe one word of that.
Well, I'm just quoting the independent CBO who says that it will actually in the long term lower the deficit. Analysts have also said that the stimulus spending actually stemmed the flow of job loss. So you disagree with both of those things.
I disagree with.
Right. Where would you cut? Where would you want to see people cut?
They have to get on a budget, number one. And they have to figure out where to cut these things. You know, there's welfare, there's Medicaid, there's all these programs that are out there.
The military?
Not even any idea what these programs are, and they're putting money into it and wasting money.
The military?
And what about this vacation Mr. Obama's going on the 6th? going to cost the taxpayers $2 billion.
I think, is that the trip to India?
That's the trip to India. I mean, that is taxpayers' money.
Okay, well, that's Diana Reimer, Tea Partier. Gail Chadwick, we got you for just a few seconds here. We heard a lot of things there, but mostly what I heard was if Medicare and Social Security has to go, that's fine with me. How is that going to go over with other Tea Partiers who are holding up the sign saying, hands off my Medicare?
Well, that is the issue, isn't it? If there's one thing I've learned about the Tea Party is that it is an enormously diffuse movement. Anyone that claims to speak for it, you can be pretty certain, does not.
Well, and many are going to in the next couple of days after yesterday's elections. Gail Chadwick, Christian Science Monitor, we, of course, will be keep touching in with you as the days go ahead to look at the fallout from these elections. Thanks, as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Back with much more after the latest news here and now.